assistant, whatever the Rosh did. And despite the fact that he was very busy, the Rosh wrote quite a bit of tshuvas all over. And in order to make sure that the psak halacha needed to get out, that was asked from the Rosh, and to be able to utilize every moment possible, interesting thing, the Rosh would write tshuvas on Chol HaMoed as well. Even though basically writing a Chol HaMoed is not such a simple situation, but of course there are heterim in the cases of need and so on and so forth, the Rosh did write tshuvas on Chol HaMoed as well. Either he wrote it himself, or he dictated to someone to do the writing. And the idea was that the letters and the tshuvas should be able to reach and arrive to those that needed the psak halacha, should be able to reach it as soon as possible. And if in a situation occurred that the Rosh was delayed for some reason and he was not able to write those tshuvas, so we find that he sort of like asks like forgiveness, a very humble way of writing. He asks the slicha. So we find the tshuvas Rosh in Klal Amud Hei, as if to please forgive me. The fact is that my answer did not come as quickly as I would have liked to have it written, and this is the nature of the Rosh. As mentioned, as the Rajba, of course, who was originally from Sfard, was from Spain, and he was the chief rabbi in Barcelona. Actually, he was a Godlador. But nevertheless, when the Rosh came, he didn't view it as a competition. And he was Machabe the Rosh as someone and treated him as an equal. And he promoted the godless of the Rosh, because when the Rosh arrived, his fame was not right away so well known by everybody, because he came from Ashkenaz, he came from Germany. But the Rajbo did know, as we mentioned, there was correspondence between the Rajbo and the Rajbo was in Spain, and the Rosh was still in Germany. So the Rosh received a lot of COVID from the Rajbo. As a matter of fact, even though the Rosh was a number of years younger, he was younger than the Rajbo, but we find that when the Rajbo writes to the Rosh, he writes and refers to him as Echod Migdoyle HaRabonim, one of the Gedoyle HaRabonim. Now, in spite of the fact that the Rajbo, of course, did recognize the godless of the Rosh, but as always is when a newcomer comes in, especially coming in from Ashkenaz, coming into Sfarad, coming into Spain, so there were quite a number of Talmid Chachomim that were not so ready to accept the authority of the Rosh upon themselves, and because before the Rosh came, they were considered to be the Talmid Chachomim. And now here comes the Rosh that's sort of like going to outshine them, and he becomes the Rav of Toledo, and now they're going to have to be Meshubah to whatever the Rosh said. So they sort of like to attempt to consider themselves as if they're greater than the Rosh in Bikiyas, they're greater than the Rosh in Harifas and so on. And that, in fact, a little bit caused the Rosh somewhat of discomfort, because he had to deal with difficult Balbatit. You know, as it's not uncommon situation. And we find also, we find many times is that the Rosh tried to prove to them, he tried to prove them many of the mistakes that the Rosh felt that they had either in their Mesoira or in certain Minhogim. But nevertheless, they did not listen to the Rosh, in spite of the fact that the Rosh was the Rav, but they had their Minhogim, they had their Mesoira. As much as the Rosh felt that there is a mistake in their tradition, and so on, the Rosh of the Rosh is, in Klala in Zayin, the Chuvas Rosh, Vitsi Vitsi, in other words, I tried to impose, he says, my opinion upon them, and then the Rosh says, Veleke de Mejgachbi, they don't care what I say, he said, they're not interested. In other words, they have their tradition, and they have their Mesoira. There are also those who tried to be mechazik them in Hogim by trying to bring proofs that were not on sound ground, they're not on sound ground, as the Rosh brings down, because when it came to learning, they were no match at all for the Rosh in real learning. So when it comes to tradition, you can't really argue so much with tradition. They had the Messiah, of course, that tradition, whether the Rosh felt it was right or wrong, but you did with Minhagim, okay? This was the minhag that they had. And as far as Minhagim himself, the Rosh really had to learn a lot of the Minhagim, you know, in Spain. The Rosh probably, there's no match to the Rosh in Bikiyas of the German Minhagim, and even the French Minhagim, and as we see all over the Tshuvas HaRosh, Minhagim, of course, that he had by his own traditions, that he had from his own Rabbeim, where the Rosh would rely on. But of course, the Chachomim in Sfard, they were very stubborn. I mean, not stubborn. This was their Messiah that they had, and they stood very solid regarding their Minhagim. as the Rosh talks about. As a matter of fact, many of the Minhagim, even in Toledo, the Rosh was very surprised that there were certain particular Minhagim there, which he was not familiar with prior to coming. It's not like today, you know, where everything is there's email and you know everything was going all over the world. Everybody knows everybody else's Minhagim and knows what's happening all over the world. That was not like that. So you can have a person like the Rosh, but of course, coming out to a new area, which is in Sfarad, and the lot of Minhagim, he really had to learn to see if I know, oh, really, is that what you do? You know? And then the Rosh was very surprised about that. And as mentioned before, he felt many of the things that it was mistaken. But again, these are things that he was not able to change. And as a matter of fact, even in the Rosh's own shul, where the Rosh was actually the Rav in Toledo, the Rosh decided to tolerate a certain minhag, which the Rosh felt is not in place, Ad Kedei Kach, as we're going to show you in a moment, where the Rosh felt that it is a brachel of atola that they are making, and I'll tell you in a second what it is, but the Rosh nevertheless let you know what, Godel HaSholem, he says, because for the sake of keeping the peace, he says it's not talking really about a real Issa Deraisa, so the Rosh said, you know what, let them continue doing it. And I'll tell you exactly what the issue was, which bothered the Rosh very much. And in fact, this is brought down by the Rosh's son, the Tur. The Tur brings down in Hilchos Shabbos in Reish Samach Zayim. So the Tur brings down as follows. First of all, he says a number of things that we find ubetulatila. Tulatila is the Lashon Rishoyim, that's Toledo. So the Tur here in Hilchos Shabbos tells us, and by the way, throughout the Tur all over, whether it's in Yerodeya, whether it's in Choshe Mishpah, the Tur continuously, constantly, he quotes Minhagim, because the Tur also went up from Germany together with his father, and he also lived in Toledo, he lived in Spain. So he was, of course, also familiar with all the Minhagim, and he records them. And he brings down the following. Ubetulatula, he says, as far as Toledo, for example, Noihagim Lachsam Bishabbos, one Mahogim is that Friday night, Hashkivenu, they say Shoimarama Yisroel Lad, like in the weekdays. In other words, not like we see in our Ashkenazish or others that say Hapoire Sukha Sholem Aleinu, right? The Siyum of the Hashkivenu is a different bracha. In Tultila, he says, the custom was, he brings down the tour, the meaning was Lachso in Bishabbos, that they would conclude the bracha Kimoy Bechoil. The Einoi Nochoi. He says it's not right. It's not right. The bracha is not Shem Rama Yisrael Lad. The bracha says the Rosh should be Hapoire Sukha Sholem, what we say. But that's only one thing. Another thing, which was very surprised, the Oynei Hagim Bitulatila, another minhag, he says, in Toledo. Another minhag, recorded here by by the Tur. And that is, that after they said, Vishomru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos, so what do? Right, we say Kaddish. And then you start the Shemoneh Esrei, as the minhag. Now, in the weekdays, where you daven Ma'ariv, right, in many, many Mekoyimis, and that was the minhag of the Rosh also, you said, Baruch Hashem Elohei Olam Amen V'Amen. Now, Baruch Hashem Elohei Olam Amen V'Amen, right after Hashkivenu, before the Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Hashem Elohei Olam Amen is sort of like a mini Shemoneh Esrei. It has 18 times Hashem's name in there. Like Shemoneh Esrei has 18 brachas. The Baruch Hashem Elohei Olam Amen V'Amen, sort of like a mini Shemoneh Esrei, it has 18 Yudches Azkorois, 18 Shemes there. Now, Baruch Hashem Elohei Olam, when you say it, it concludes with a bracha. Yiru einenu v'yismach libenu, right? And then what do we say at the end, all the way to the end? Baruch Hashem HaMelech b'chvoidoi, tome yimu chalein lo yom vod, v'al kol maso. In Toledo, they said it on Shabbos. What did they say on Shabbos? They didn't say Baruch Hashem Elohei Olam Amen, they just said the bracha. But they made a slight change. Instead of saying Yiru einenu, what they said was, they said Yismucha Shemayim v'sogel oris. And then how did they conclude? They said what they have to say. Hamelech b'vaydoi. The Rosh said it's a tremendous avla. This does not belong in Shabbos to say this Yiru einenu or Hamelech b'vaydoi. And the Rosh is as follows. V'oid noyhagim b'tiltula shalach shomru posik v'shomru. They would say Birches Hamelech. Birches Hamelech means Hamelech b'vaydoi. Some gear says Birches Hamoylech, but it means the same thing. It's the bracha of Hamelech, Hamelech b'vaydoi. The Zem Minuk Toys, he says. Clearly the Rosh says, is this a Minuk Toys? They were not Mesakin to do that. It was only in the weekdays and so on and so forth. In Shabbos, therefore, there was no Tekon on that. Says the Tur. But they did say it. And as we see that the Rosh allowed it, because he was not mevatel. He screams it's a toys. However, Omein, he didn't answer. Okay, say it. This is your minig. I believe it's a mistake. You're saying it. That's a very, very fascinating thing here. Okay, do we find out? Again, differences of minhagim. Okay, of course, everybody has their tradition and they should follow their tradition, but this is a very interesting thing. So when it came to minhagim to say whether the Rosh felt it was okay or not okay, right, he tried to change it. If it didn't work, he said, okay, let it stay, because God was shalom. But if it came to areas of halacha, there he said, nobody could match up with him. Nobody can stand up to the Russian to challenge him. Because when it came to knowledge in Talmud, in Gemara, and in Halacha, he was higher above all of them at the time. All of them. He said, Mishich Moilamala, much, much, much higher. And the Russian, therefore, was very, very adamant when it came to something which he felt was strict Halacha, not something Minhagim. And therefore, he would not allow it and would stand his ground very, very, very strongly. And it turns out, as we mentioned already, that when the Rush arrived in Spain in the early 1300s, at that time, the Limud of Gemara was not the main Limud. They did not. It was really the Rush who brought in a very strong, even though the Rush but just in general, they mostly what they would be learning is the short form, which is the Rif. Right? The Rif, basically, which is a concise, which is basically bringing down just the strict halachas without the pilpul, without the shakal v'tarya. They would learn Rif, they would learn Rambam, and so on. And Bechlal, in Sfar, they had very little knowledge about the tremendous rabbinical heaps of rabbinical literature that was in Germany. They had no idea of that at all. And it was really the Rosh brought these teachings also to Spain. And of course, the Tosfos Rosh, which is the Derech HaLimud of the Chacham Ashkenaz, of the Rishonim of Ashkenaz, that was introduced into Spain, the Limud of Tosfos, the style of Tosfos that was learned in Germany. And this was brought in by the Rosh in his yeshiva in Spain. And the Limud of Gemara really flourished, because the Rosh, as we mentioned, had Talmidim from all over. The Rosh had Talmidim from all over, literally from all over Europe, even as far as Russia. In those days, they came to the yeshiva, Rosh. Just mention to you one more thing, because I have to move on, because it's extremely interesting. Here it was, it's brought down here in the Tshuva Sarosh. It's brought down, this is in Klal Chamishim Vechot. We're going to read a little maisa that happened. Okay, here's the maisa. Now this maisa is being written by a son of the Rosh. Talmud Echot Bolikan, the particular Talmud came over here, Le'ir Tulatila. Okay, again. A Talmud comes over here to Toledo. Lilmoid Lifnei Adoni Yovi, because he's coming to learn in the yeshiva of my father. He's coming to learn in the yeshiva of the Rosh. The Hetik HaToysis, and he copied down the Toysis Shechibra Adoni Yovi. We know the Toysis of Rosh. The Rosh, right? The Toysis of the Rosh. So, it's a manuscript. It's not that he had print. So anybody who really wanted to preserve it for himself had to push it, copy it down. So he had here a Talmud that came to Toledo to learn by the Rosh. And he copied down, you know, the manuscripts of the Tosfos Rosh. After he finished, you know, his study, his years of study, whatever it was, okay, he leaves Toledo, he has to go back home. Bo Talmud Echod mi Mallorca. Comes a Talmud from Mallorca, Veheyed Zeho Edus Shalamata, and said the following Edus. Regarding the Talmud, again, Talmud A, okay, Talmud A, comes from somewhere, as we'll soon see, and studies in Toledo. And this Talmud, as he said, also copied the Tosfos Rosh. He had a copy of the Tosfos Rosh within him. He leaves. He says, now comes another Talmud from Mallorca, and has testimony regarding the first Talmud that had the Tosfos Rosh that left. And he says as follows, this was the Edus. Kishayisi be Mallorca, he says. When I was in Mallorca, he says, this is the witness. Reisi Talmud Echad, I saw Talmud. Which Talmud? Well, this was the Talmud that we mentioned who studied in Toledo. The Herali, this Talmud showed me, Igeres Psucha, he showed me an open letter, a certificate, Chasuma Bechasimas Moreinu Rabbeinu Osher. Notice he had a certificate, apparently that seemed something we mentioned already, a Talmud, I guess, when he left the yeshiva, he had a receipt, and if he learned well, he received sort of like a certificate from the Rosh, okay, you know, this Talmud here learned here a couple of years by me, and they excelled, he accomplished, and he's a Choshev Ben Torah, or something like that. So this Talmud showed, so the guy from Mallorca says, I had a Talmud who came, a Talmud from the Rosh came, and he showed me he had a certificate from the Rosh. His name was also Osher. So the Talmud Right? This Talmud, again, who copied the Tosfos HaRosh, who learned in Toledo, who left, his name was Osher. So now comes a witness from Mallorca. He said, I met him. I met this Talmud who's called Osher. I met this Talmud who's called Osher. Vesipeli, and this Talmud told me, this Osher told me, Shoyibom Tosila. Yeah, he says, yeah, I'm coming from Toledo. I just finished my tenure, just finished my years of learning by the Rosh. Here's my certificate. Right? The Shalom Adlif the Moreno Harav, the Herali Toysvis, and he showed also the copy, the Toysvis Rashi showed, Mixes Mesechtes on a number of Mesechtes, Shechiber Moreno Harav. Fine. Well, if he had Varim Shehigit, so this person from Toledo, from Mallorca, is saying, based upon what I'm hearing from this Talmud, Masasi Emes, I see whatever he's saying is truth. This Barley, it's clear to me, Shebor Metulatila, that he's coming from Toledo, and now he's on the way to go home to his land. He's going home to his land. Fine. What's the problem? Join me. V'akach bo bochor echot. Now came a bochor shmoi Reb Shmuel. Now this Reb Shmuel, right? This Reb Shmuel shoyedor b'Seville. Seville. Also in Spain. So comes a bochor, his name is Reb Shmuel, Boyce's mom. Ubola Mallorca. So he's coming also. This Reb Shmuel is coming from Seville, is coming to Mallorca. And he's saying he met this Talmud, who copied the Tosfos HaRosh. He met him in Seville. So the Talmud right starts out in Toledo, right? He's met in Mallorca, but the Talmud continues on. He turns in, he goes to Seville. So now, right, the person from Mallorca who's giving witness, he says, right, who met this Osher, now he hears from this Reb Shmuel. This Reb Shmuel says, he says, I met a Talmud echad choshev Ashkenazi, right, Ushmoy Reb Osher, v'shalom adlifna Rabbeinu Osher. So we see, it seems to be talking about the same person, right? So Bob Bishavili, coming to Seville, Li'ir Shohisidor, Shmuel says, this Reb Osher, right, who learned by the Rosh, came to Seville, where I am living, v'nis achsenimi, same, mamish, staying with me, yoyim yimayim a day or two, he's staying with me, v'akach notul reshus memeni loleches loy, to leave, show him. So he says, Upatati oisoi, he says, I bid him farewell, and I escorted him a little bit, he says. I escorted him. Vishagati oisoi belavoya. Broisin, I saw he fell motionless. Shinofos shadud. He falls motionless. So I tell him, you know, don't leave. I say, you're not well. Stay here. Kibishato cholush. Vleirotso v'holich l'ir acheres. V'acha yomim uotim, after a few days, Boelai Hamagid, came a reporter, the Higid, Shehoisa Talmud Oyecholet, that this Talmud, this Osher, was sick, V'yenotolomus, he was about to die. So the Zachar, when I heard about this reporter saying, I hired an animal, a taxi, he means a taxi, it was an animal those days, you're right, V'holachti Levakroi. And this Osher was like on his deathbed, V'ubiroisa, when he sees me, Nishazek Ma'at, Umotsa Menucha, he says, and very apparently he knew this person very well. He said, Omuso apa, now he can die, Akhra Oisi Espanecho, not as you. I was machazik him a little bit, he says, as much as I can, Veloy Hoyel, didn't help. The Achazman Muet Niftele Beisoy Lomoy, for Sisa Loy Kovet Bemoisa Vikovati Oisa. Question is, can this person's wife get married? In other words, because the Edis is an Edis from an Edis who says, there's a person by the name of Rav Osher, who learned by the Rosh, who died. But is this really the same one? Is this one, now can we rely that this is the same person? Because nobody's really saying Edis on the persons by recognizing a particular person, saying this person is the husband of this wife, but rather a person called Osher, who learned by Rabbeinu Osher, who had a copy of Tosfos, right, of the Rosh. This person died. So based upon just knowing a person's name and where he came from, and certain these sort of simonim, is that enough to allow his wife to get married? Yearly writes the Rosh. She ishtosh Reb Osher, he says, Muteres Linose. So allowed to get married. And he quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, and he comes down and he says, Ava Pishlo Hikiru, even though nobody recognized him as to say he's the husband of this, nobody came to say this is this woman's husband. Ela Yedeshi Gidul Shemoi, the only simonim is the name, Vishay Mekoimoi. He said, they were Matar, his wife, and here too. His name is Osher, he learned by us. Tosfos HaRosh, we know there is no other Talmud, he says. There's no other Talmud who came. Sheshmoy Reb Osher. Interesting. There's no other Talmud that we had, his name is Reb Osher. So this must be the Reb Osher. This must be the Reb Osher, because no other Talmud who came over here. Ela Oyser Reb Osher, by the way, his name was Reb Osher Bar Sinai. who hoyem eres Russia, he came from Russia. So he planned, he was going back all the way, but he died somewhere in the way. Upon him, said the Russia gave him a head to get married. Because there's not a Talmud by the name of Osher who learned by me. And in addition to that, had copies of the Tosfos of Rosh. We knew that this Osher did it. So therefore, the wife of Rav Osher Bar Sinai can get married. Even though we didn't have official aides, there's somebody saying this man is the wife, the husband of this particular wife. There was no person. But nevertheless, it was enough based on that in which the Rosh gave a heter. Again, this is the strength of the Sokim of the Rosh. So we go to the Yorkes Chaim. Take a look, we are here in Perek Sheni. We are here in Perek Sheni. And it's Sif Chof Tes, if you take a look. If you have Sif Chof Tes, page Yutches. Hose Mimcho. We have it Hose Mimcho, if you can find it. It's Chof Tes. Okay, Hose Mimcho. Mishenes Bnei Yodom. Alright, we have it? Chof Tes. Siv Chof Tes, Berek Sheni. Yom Sheni. Okay, Yom Sheni. Okay, the Rosh says in this segment, in Yom Sheni, Hose Mimcho, he says, Mishenes Bnei Yodom. He says, remove from yourself to rely, he says, on human beings, on people. The idea of the Rosh here is to promote a person that has to be Mechazik himself in Bitochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hose Mimcho again, remove from yourself, he says, Mishanas Bnei Yodom, from relying on people. He says, remove that. Don't put your trust in people expecting that the source of your Yeshua is going to come from them. Don't do that. The Hatzna Leches in Barecho. Another thing he says, Adrab, a person should cover himself, Bitsnias, right? And to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll see if somehow the Rosh seems to be mixing two things. We'll soon see in some of the Mefarshim, we'll see later. Because the Rosh says two things. First, he says, remove from yourself relying on people. That's one thing. Then the Rosh says, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tznius. In other words, don't be showy. Don't be showy, showing off what a great Talmud Chochem you are, or what a great Tzaddik you are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, do the right thing, of course. But Hatzna Lechet, the person's Hanhogin, Avodas Hashem, should be b'tznius. There are many, many great people who conceal their greatness. You would not really know the godless unless they slipped somehow. You recognized. There are many, many people who used to fast, do a lot of fasting, a lot of tenesim. But they would conceal nothing. Didn't want people to know, be aware of it. Because if people are going to be aware of it and then they derive personal covet from it, that itself can detract from the chashivas of that avodah. And a lot of the schar has been taken away. So in any case, so the Rosh says two things. First of all, he says, Hosem Mimcho Mishan is Ben Yodom. Remove from yourself just relying on people. V'hatta lechas im barecho. And follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tznius. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tznius. And then he says another thing. Val tosim zohov kislecho. Do not put your mind into money. In other words, your mind should be upright. Yes, you need panosa. You have to work for panosa. But that shouldn't be something that occupies. Amassing a fortune should not be something that occupies your mind. Kislecho means your machshavas. Your machshavas should not be occupied, he says, by kesef zohov. Because a person whose mind is occupied with kesef zohov, if that is really his tachlis, kizois tchilas avoides akum, or avoides zora. That is really the beginning. This is really a semblance of Avodah Zarah. Because what is really Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah, of course, in its worst sense, is a person bows down to an idol. What do you think about Avodah Zarah? But Avodah Zarah doesn't have to be that extreme. You can have Avodah Zarah in even much more distant way. That is, a person, Avodah Zarah, if a person removes his mind from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and puts his hopes in some substitute fashion, in some artificial fashion, so he takes away, really, right, the source of his true Hatzlacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's also a form of Avodah Zarah. Because why? Because he's putting his trust, he's putting his faith, and he puts his belief in alternative, right, in alternative sources, and not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is taking away, really, from the supremacy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what the truth is. It's really all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So attributing power to some other source, that is also a form of Avodah Zarah. So a person, therefore, should not, he says the Rosh, Al tosim zohov kislecho, do not put money, zohov, kesev, zohov, that should be your machshavas, ki zohis chilas avodah zarah, because then it takes away your mind from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get involved with other things. Then he says another thing, upazer memoincho, and the money that you have, Yes, you should have an open hand that you should spread your money, kashiru ritzoinoi. Spend it for the thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to spend it for. Right? And a person should not feel a difficulty or do it with reluctance, because when a person uses his money for that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to use it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will replenish any chesaron that he might have had, any loss, because he did what he was supposed to do. As the Rosh says, he says, Pazer memoincha again kashahu risoinoi, as is the rotson of Hashem, ki biyodoi lemalis chesroincha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, has the ability, right, to be memalit, to replenish your chesaron. Not only to replace the chesaron, but even more than that, the law says terev bin abeischa, and to give you mezainis, to give you panosa, to give you sustenance, to be able to support your family and everything that you need, all the tzarchei bayis. Okay, so that's one item. Another item we're looking at is lamed. All right, and then we're going to take a look. Let's look at lamed. Now the law says lamed, which is in the next sif, still part of Yom Sheni. Da eselikai avicha. Which means to say is a person should be cognizant of Rabbeinu Shalom. Das alekai avicha. Be cognizant, be aware of Rabbeinu Shalom in your life. Okay, that's item number one. And then as we see, the Rosh very commonly, as we found already, that the Rosh says many things which on the surface it seems that he's like mixing different things, right, in one sentence, like many different anhogis. But yet the Mefarshim, in so many different ways, there's so many different Perushim in the Rosh. Rosh is a Rishon. So many, like you say, many Perushim in a Pasuk Chumash, so too there's, say, many Perushim in a Medrash, so too there are many, literally so many Perushim in the words of the Rosh. Words of the Rosh. And the point is, what they, all the Mefarshim try, each in their own way, to show that there's a connection with every different anhogis that the Rosh mentions in one sentence. It's not just a series of many different analogies. If he mentions it in one sif, or if he mentions it in one paragraph, so even though it might seem that they're disconnected, but they really are connected. So the Rosh starts out to say, Das alekai avicha. Then he says, which seems to be something else, but we'll soon see it's not something else, but this is another analogy, very important analogy. What is that? The Rosh says, Udvarcha b'moizne tzedek tishkoil. Make sure, he says, that your words should be weighed on a scale. In other words, before you say something, make sure that you think it through. Don't allow your mouth to go ahead of your mind. But rather, a person should really decide and really debate. Abkadekach, this is what the Mefarshim and the Rosh point out. A person should really debate whether it's necessary what I have to say. Or maybe it's not necessary. And it's very important, as the Rosh says, to preserve your words. A person should be a person of few words. A lot of these, I'm going to say out actually. So the Rosh says, "Dvorecho, your words, b'moizne tzedek tishkoil." It should be on a scale of righteousness. You should weigh it. Weigh your words. Which means to say, weigh your words b'chlal, even if it's important to speak it. Whether you should say it at all. And then he says, "V'hin tzedek yilcho." A person means, hin tzedek means, should have words of righteousness. Means if you say yes, then yes should mean yes. It means to say, if you make a promise or you make a commitment, that commitment the person should keep. That's called a hen tzedek. The person, you know, you make a shvui, they make an oath, they make a neder. You don't have to make a neder. The mere fact that you said something, so you keep your words. The hen tzedek yilcho. If you promise something, you're mavtiach something, then this is what you said, then you should keep. We mentioned once, Rav Shmuel Greinemann, right? Chazanish had a minyan, had a regular minyan, had a private minyan in his house, which is 1 o'clock. Menche gedoyla, common thing. And the minyan was a very minyan mitzumsim. 10 people, 11 people. Very, very small minyan. This is the way it went on a daily basis. The davka zoi didn't want a big minyan. Small minyan was a minyan mitzumsim in the house of the chazanish, of the minyan. Shmuel Greinemann, on a particular day, he says to the chazanish, he says, you know, I forgot that I have an appointment with someone, which I said that I'm going to meet him at 1 o'clock. Which means to say is that if I'm going to meet him at 1 o'clock, he says that I can't be here at the minyan. And he was the 10th. So he had the chazanish yishayla. So, you know what? So I said 1 o'clock. I'll dab minchim. I'll come 1:15, 1:20. Chazanish, no, no, no. So you said 1 o'clock. You'll be there 1 o'clock and no minyan. Chazanish, this is what you said, this is what you promised. So this is mamish, this is the words. V'hein tzedek yilcho. You gave your word. This is what you said. You abide by it. Stick to it. You keep it. And the Rosh goes on to say so far that the Rosh says, V'yekal be'necho, should be easier for you, hoitzoas memoincho, mohitzoas avarecho. What's easier, to spend money or to talk? Roy says it should be easier to spend money than to talk. He says, before you talk, he says, imagine as if every dibur is going to cost you a lot of money, right? Then you're going to think twice. The first one have to pay, right? For telegram, there used to be those days, right? You paid for every word. So then the person made sure to write the telegram as short as possible. It's concise, but people didn't even know what the message was because there was so makatzer. You know, so we have to write this, they'll understand. After write this, they'll understand. Timothy almost wrote nothing. You understand. This is what it meant. So, Shemaim, they say, Taki Chofetz Chaim says, you pay for every word. It's like a telegram. They said the invention of a telegram was really everything that's created in the Bria is that we should learn from Avodas Hashem. Yes, the telegram was created, he said. So a person realized that you have to count your words to realize that in Shemaim you're going to give in cheshbon. Everything that you say is going to be recorded, and they're going to take a look and see and evaluate that which you've said. Dvarim b'telem, loshon hara, rechilus, and so on and so forth. Every word is going to be charged for. So this is the idea. So the Rosh says here clearly that if Yekal Benecho should be easier for you, he says, to spend money, right? To give out money rather than hoisoyz of Arecho. And then he says, Upicho al yimahe lehoitzi dovaro, ad asher tishkaleu b'moiznei sichlecho. It means, sometimes there's a necessity that maybe you have to say something that's really important. Then not everywhere they have the gears of Dovar Ro. Now, as if we're saying, which the Mefarshim said, what the Rosh is adding here, that even let's say, you there's a need. Right? You have a need that you feel that you have an urge that you have to say something because you stand to gain. But the Rosh says also, he says, really think it through. If what you're going to say is not going to be more damaging, or if it's worthwhile or not, ad asher tishkaleut, weigh it again, b'moiznei sichelcho. So we see again how clearly how the Rosh talks about a person should be sparse in words. And be very careful. Think twice before you speak. And there's much more to be gained, many times, right, that which you have not said, rather than having it said. So let's take a look at Rabbi Yisrael here at the sheet, and go through to see a number of items on what we have learned over here. Okay, take a look at the sheet. So you see on the right side, of course, we have the first item we have here. These are the words of the Orchis Chaim that we just learned here in the Sif Choftes. But on the left side, number two, if you take a look, that's the translation of the Tosfos Yontif, which again, which is something which is really an incredible thing that the Tosfos Yontif himself wrote a translation on the Orchis Chaim of the Rosh. And it's very important because many times, as we said, the words of the Rosh have dual or more than that interpretation, lends itself to many interpretations. So certainly in the interpretation of the Tosfos Yontif, right, is a very strong interpretation, and although many other interpretations are suggested many times as well. So here, just following very Bekitzer, just looking at the Tosfos Yontif, let's take a look over here. Tosfos Yontif says, Hose tu yoscho usmichoscho, remove your right, your dependence and your reliance. Mimasha to choishev litlois v'leyozer. Translating the words, Hose mimcho mishanas bnei adam. Remove from yourself relying on people. And he has the girsa. You see, you saw there in the brackets. It said there. It says there, mishanas hakone harotzus. So the apostle Malachim, don't rely on a splintered cane. It's emotional. Imagine a person who needs a cane. They can't find a cane. So what does he have? He has a cane, he has a stick that's splintered. You can imagine what's going to happen. The moment that he puts his weight on that cane, it's going to fall apart and he's going to fall to the floor. That's the idea. Don't rely on people. Because relying on people is like relying on a splintered cane. That's the girsa here that we have in the brackets in the... We have here in the Tosfos Rosh, in the Orchis Chaim, which says, Mishenes Akona Rotzes. Mikone Shvure, says the Tosfos Yontif. Kochush Vehodek. Went from a broken cane, he says, which is clapped and it's thinned out. Kloy Melitzos Abnei Odom. Don't rely on people. Well, Hefech. Haster Asmcho, but totally, he says, confide totally Loleches in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berecho. Vayuish Tenesecho, and your mind and your Machshoves, Vemunoscho, and your trust should not be dissolved. Ubemomoin. He wants to explain why, if your mind is on money, right? Why is the mind on money? Why does the Rosh say somebody is oris? And Tosfos Yontif explain because removes your machshove. If you're busy with money, then your mind is removed from thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You think about other things, right? And you're putting your faith in other things, in alternative sources. That is a form of avodah zarah as well. Elo pazer birotzoin ubeneke lechol ma shekodesh bochur roitzeh shetitem. But rather, be ready with ease, right? To give you money, distribute your money to those places that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you. Ki yesh la Kadosh Baruch Hu hakoyach v'atoyke, Kadosh Baruch Hu has the power, the ability to replenish l'mamlois aveidoscho v'chisroincho v'litin l'cho kol mezoneisecho v'chol tzorche beisecho. Fine. Okay, now, if you see the first item that we had over here, where the Rosh puts together, if you see, look again the Yochas Chaim, if you have here, which is item number one, the Rosh says, Hoser Mimcha Mishanes Ben Yodom, right, remove from yourself, relying on other people, and then the Rosh says, serve Hashem with Tznius. What does one to do with the other? V'hatzmei Leches Im Barecha. What does one to do with the other? So here comes the Mekor Chaim. Mekor Chaim, if you remember, is Rabbi Yom Zilber. That's Rabbi Yom Zilber of Bnei Brak Zechoyin of Rochel. He used to call him Yom HaTzadik. He's a big Talmud Chochem, big Pesach. Also wrote many a series of a lot of Chalokin called Oz Nidberu on Hilchei Shabbos. So very well known the personality he was in Bnei Brak. So he says as follows. Hose Mimcha, right? Going on the words of the Rosh, where the Rosh says, remove yourself from relying on a splintered cane. Now, look what he says. Kishi Yizbara V'Yisamisloi. If once it becomes clear to you, that relying on people, right? That relying on people does not help, is worthless. Because a person has to really, sometimes a person's mind is not adjusted to that. He thinks, oh, my Yeshua is going to come from this person. My Yeshua is going to come from that person. So the Mekor Chaim says, when a person comes to the realization, finally when you realize that, when a person really realizes that, when you realize, Ki Mishanes Beriyodom Hu Mishanes Kono Rotsutz, it's a splintered cane, She'ein Beyad HaNevroim Lehetiv Loi, human beings do not have the ability to be made to you, Ulat Siloi, Zulosis Bar, only because Baruch Hu wants it. It's only because Baruch Hu can do that. V'chein Yeda Be'emes, you should also know, nobody can really harm you if because Baruch Hu doesn't want it either. Ki Loi Beyad Bosim Adom Lehera Loi. If a person really comes to that realization, then obviously his betochen will be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then his betochen will be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, it's betochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's not going to be interested to show off his frumkeit to other people. Because it calls him on when a person thinks that his Yeshua, right, is dependent on other people, so he wants to show off that he's an important person. He wants to impress other people. So calls him on that you believe in other people. When you believe that other people have some sort of power, right, to be able to do, and you have to talk to other people, then it'll also be difficult for you to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shem Shemayim, because your mind will be also to try to impress other people in whatever you do. But therefore the Rosh says, one follows the other. When a person removes his trust from other people, then he's not interested in other people b'chlal, right, should be impressed by him, then you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tznius. So that's really, that's why one statement follows the other. As he goes, he says, U'kishi yose b'tchoinoi mi bosa v'dom, when you remove your b'tochem, he says, from bosa v'dom, oz yata komasa l'choy d'Hashem, now you're ready to do l'Shem Shemayim. Because you're not interested in what people think. It's not important for you to try to impress other people. It's only his barach levado. U'memele, now, yechalke u'masa v'atoivim, he will direct his good deeds, v'hatzne, he'll do it with tznius, not to show it off, try to impress. The Yitzkel Madreges will be zeichet to come to the Madreges to mekayim the posik. By the way, it's a novi michos as the posik. The hatzna leches in beracho. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your creator, with tznius. Also, he says, the chen al yidei haishtadlis liknois madreges hatzna leches. The more that a person, right, will be mishtadl to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tznius, that will also remind him not to trust bos of adoms. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaskir loy, this will remind him shloy libtoyach al bos of adom rak olov levado yizborach, only him himself. So that's the nikud over here. So the nikud is like this: the kozman a person feels that what that other people really, right, can influence his atzlocha, then his avodas Hashem is up to Hashem Shemayim always, because he's really interested, right, to impress what the other people would think. However, once a person realizes Hoseh Mimcha, that removes from himself his betochen is only on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then when he serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's talking with tznius and not what other people might think, and therefore his avodas Hashem is on a higher level. So I want you to take a look over here, number four. This is Or Yecheskel. This is from Chatzkel Levinstein, right? And he goes as follows. Look what he says over here. It's interesting. Sometimes betochen itself can be not l'shem shemayim. A person wants to show I'm a big baal betochen. This way he writes. He says, I'm not worried about anything. It's what a kodesh baruch. He wants other people to see him as a baal betochen. So the betochen itself can sometimes also be shloi l'shem shemayim. So Reb Chatzkel says, Horosh zal, right? Mitzav v'li is baal betochen. The Rosh is telling us, right, that a person should be a baal betochen. But he warns you that the betochen should be batznius. B'tochen should be umazish habitochen yeh b'hatz neleches. She yitochen because it's possible. She yu b'al b'tochen b'shul kovet shanoshim. Ah, people will say, ah, this big tzaddik, look, he's not worried about anything. He always just, whatever, this is the impression that you try to give up. So it's possible that a person is only about b'tochen b'shul kovet shanoshim yoymer olot shu b'tech b'ashem. Another thing he says, void nere. Shall be talking, a person who's a true Baal B'tochen, you have to be a Hatzna Leches. You know why? Because if someone's Madrege comes out to the outside, then people like to be Mechazik, by the way. People like to assist someone who they believe is a tzaddik. So all of a sudden, if his reputation that he's a big tzaddik, he's a big Baal B'tochen, comes out on the outside, then that is something going to take away from his B'tochen, because all of a sudden, everybody all around him is going to start supporting him, so the B'tochen itself becomes ishtadlus to other people. The B'tochen becomes a form of ishtadlus to be able to solicit aid from other people. So that's a steer to B'tochen itself, as he points out. He says, because if it becomes well publicized that he's a Baal B'tochen, as I anoshim kvar yishtadlu biyadoi, so other people will be mishtadl to help him. So he doesn't really have B'tochen really in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The B'tochen himself becomes ishtadlus that other people should help him. Because, yeah, look, he's a big Baal B'tochen. So a true Baal B'tochen himself, all of these madregas, he keeps it in hiding. He does not want this to get out, that people should really recognize the madregas B'tochen. He comes out to B'tochen Shaloi from a halach shel ishtadlus. When the Rosh tells us over here, the Rosh says, Al tosim zov kislecho, a person should not have his whole mind occupied, right, with money. As you'll see, Rav Chaska Levin said, there's many things that people used to trust in, and then they say you can't trust it. But for some reason, money, they never lose trust in money. They always believe in money. That's the way it is. And the Rosh therefore feels very important to emphasize that. And he goes on to tell you the following. So Rav Chaska Levin says, "Eno yecheskel harbe devorim yesh." There are many things shodim soy mechaleim bechayov. People, you know, you're tempted to trust many, many things. Then he sees chushosom. Then he sees, nah, they don't have a klechta. I thought this can help me. Then he realizes, no, they're too weak to help him. They're too weak. But when it comes to money, he never, very rarely, not never, that's the whole point. It's very rare that a person will see, right, the feebleness, the thing that kesef really could help him. Because this is already, he made up his mind with kesef, he can rule the world. The nature of a human being. Therefore, the rush was extra, right? Warning us regarding zohov. Says Reb Chaska Levinstein, the person, if you really think about it, be'emes, you recognize a person will never take from Moel Mazeh more than they said on Rosh Hashanah. So you can try whatever you want, he says. You can try whatever you want. Now sometimes a person, you know, in something, let's say in a dishonest way, let's say he cuts a great deal, but he doesn't realize, so he thinks now, oh, he says he succeeded. He succeeded, so like he beat the system. He did something which, let's say, dishonest, right? Right? And he made a few million dollars, but he doesn't realize that maybe on the other side, right, he can, a car will break down, an oil burner will break down, his building needs more repairs, Chazishom operations, that so many other side expenses he never realized. So it'll be drained. He thought from this side, puts in from this hand, but then it's drained from the other side. So Bchatzkel says, "Ham isbayin in yira shelo oyram lo yir lodam hanoa moel mazeh yosem hanigzer ola b'Rosh Hashanah." Rabbi Yishlom has many, many ways, he says, Ki harbe drochim lamokim lakachas modem atanugim shoyochel lahasik bekaspoi. Rabbi Yishlom has many ways of removing it from the other side. So he says, I made a lot of money, so therefore I'll be able to enjoy a lot on this side. Because Baruch Hu has many, many ways, if you don't really deserve it, to have it. You thought that you made it, can't do it against the Ratzon Hashem. It's not going to work. So Kaponim said, this is what the Rosh is extra warning us about, that we should really study this and review this. That if Altosim Zorv Kislecho, that a person should not have, money should occupy his mind. Now, if you go back, look here at number 7, go here on top. What are number 7? Right? So we had here on the words of the Rosh, where the Rosh said, Da'as Elikai Yavicho, the Rosh said, Das alakai v'chom. First he says, always be aware of the Rabbi Nishloilam. And then what does the Rosh say? With the Varecha, he says, b'moizne tzedek tishkoil. Make sure that you weigh your words. What are the two things? How are the two things connected? As we said, many times when the Rosh says a number of things, on the surface they don't appear to be connected. He starts with Da'as alakai v'chom, and then he says, be careful how you choose your words. So let's look, jump for a moment, from number 7, go to number 9, you'll see it in the middle, sort of. Go to number 9. Go in the middle. Das alakai avicha. Rosh Haimer. What the Rosh is trying to tell us is as follows. Bimodam roitze limshoil al hehergeilim shal mechshoil adibur. Listen. Mechshoil adibur is a herge. Because that's habit. You just talk and talk. You talk whatever you want. That's a habit. How does a person be able to gain strength to rule over his natural instinct, right, of all the various mechshoilim in his life? He has a habit. He's a habit of talking and saying whatever he says. Where does a person get the strength to be moshel, to rule of all the mechshoilim of dibur? He says, if a person wants to be moshel al hergelim on the habit of mechshoilei hadibur, ozusarech lihishtadul la'akur memenus hergelim gam bavodes Hashem, a person has to also remove habit in avodes Hashem also. There's a habit, Rabbi says, not just from doing certain averis. Avodes Hashem is also a habit. A person, Rabbi Sai, does mitzvahs, as the Novi says, many times out of habit. Every morning is just by rote, right? As the Gemara tells us, Yidav Nishman Esrei, and it comes to Moedim, you automatically bows down, the Vaishin Shalom by Moedim. You know, the danger is many times, you know, sometimes there's a place in benching. If you're not benching with Kavana, as we said, you can run into a Volatzion somewhere. You don't realize whether I get into there. Because certain words just read into there. And then so on and so forth. In the Hoidul Hashem, also the certain area, you can run right into Yechi Chavoy with Hashem Moloch over there. With Yiram Ayomim Loyer. So if you're not careful, if you don't pay attention, you're just saying it because you're saying out of habit, you just end up someplace else, totally different. So Mamela, the idea is, a person should first of all get out of his habit, of his usual habit of doing things by rote and avodas Hashem. He said, which is mitzvah sanoshi mulumoda, just doing it out of habit. And how do you do that? By keeping in your mind the awareness that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you keep in your mind you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will give you the koyach also to control your dibur. So it goes together. Das alakai avicha. Make sure whatever you do that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't do your mitzvahs out of rote. Don't do the mitzvahs out of habit. When you're putting on tefillin, be careful. Be mindful. Be aware of what you're doing. Any mitzvah, when you're saying. And if you have, you're mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in your life. So then he says, at the same time also, comes the next word, Udvarecho b'moizne tzedek tisho. Then you'll be able also to rule over your dibur. Because the person should really direct his life not to do things out of habit. Whether it's mitzvahs, or even Averis, as we're saying, as we're talking about Diburim of Averis, a person should control himself. So this is the Koyach of a Dibur. And the truth is, the many times that we find that we have difficulty with davening, for example, one of the most difficult things in davening is Kavona. What is the strongest obstacle that stands in the way of blocking a person's Kavona in Tefillah? What is the strongest obstacle? Tefillah is Dibur. If we are not careful in Dibur, Shloi b'shasa tefillah, out on the street. When we don't abide by what the Rosh says, to be careful what you're saying. Speak a lot of dvarim b'teilim. And certainly if a person speaks dvarim asurim, so then when it comes to davening, that same mouth, those same diburim, don't carry that power of kedusha, and that's what blocks your kavana. Who says that? The Rosh is Chochma. Look at number 10, on the left side. Look at the Rosh is Chochma. V'chein kosav ha-Rosh is Chochma. When the great Balam Kabbalah Rishat Chomer writes in Shah Kedusha Vezel Shoyne, Ubezeho Inyan Yesh Tkone Gidoyle Lispal Bekavona. I'll give you a good takone that a person should be able, I'll give you a good etzer to dam Bekavona. Ki roiv bitl hakavona bitfila, hu bo midvorim betelim akvuim beliboy. A person throughout the day, Poshe, there's so much dvarim b'teilim that when it comes to davening, it's hard to be mitzamtzim. It's hard to uproot. It's hard to uproot. He says that which is already with him. His mind is so full of all the dvarim b'teilim, right? And all of these things. So when it comes to davening, all of a sudden he has to separate himself. Very difficult. But a person who controls his dibur throughout the day as well. So Mel's davening also be different. because he has control. His dibur is totally, right, is controlled and is directed in the proper way, the way it is supposed to be. So these are, as we're seeing, that the hanhogis, again, that the Rosh basically is brings forth. And the Rosh could not repeat it enough, as we see, repeats twice the whole idea of a person being very careful, as at the end of Lamed again, as we saw, that a person should weigh very clearly on a scale. Should weigh on a scale that which he wants to say. So, the Rosh again told us that a person's avodas Hashem should be v'hatzna leches. You don't do it to impress other people. You don't do it to show other people. But rather, hatzna leches, as the Novi says, hatzna leches in berecho. So there's a very interesting little mice over here, number 11, which is Rabbi Yankiv Galinsky, famous Magid, was here also, and this shul also over here goes all over the place. Magid, very well-known Magid in Eretz Yisrael. So he speaks about a little bit of an experience he had with Rav Shach. And this happens to be in the Sefer called the Higadato, and it happens to be in this week's parish, in parish of Baal Oischo. And this is in the middle of a little bit sort of like a lengthy drosha, so we brought down an excerpt with Swamish Negei to what we're talking about. The Maise says he went to visit Rav Shach. He says he visited Rav Shach many, many times. But this particular incident, he visited Rav Shach when he was already at his advanced age. Rav Shach was quite old, as we take a look. Hoyezeh, he says, La'ez the Knosoi Hamufleges. Rav Shach was already extremely old. Koichoi Tosh, his koich was very weak. For Rav Chananya, he says Rav Chananya was a yid there who was like an aide. So the yid by the name of Chananya was an aide, was being mishamish Rav Shach. Tipel boy b'mesiris, with mesiris nefesh, this person really was very committed. Yoy mechod, one day this aide, Rav Chananya, the aide, he hears how Rav Shach is groaning, he's sighing. Shomoy goy neach, he heard how he's groaning. What am I going to come, he says, to the next world? I don't have anything. Rav Shach is saying, what am I going to come to the next world? He says, Ma ovi iti, what am I going to bring? Rav Shach, I go to Lador. What am I going to come to the next world? So go down. Omar Rav Cholik, go down to this next line. So Rav Cholik, he says to him, what do you mean, my perish? He started arguing with Rav Shach. He says, what are you saying? What are you coming? You're worried. You're worried with what you're coming, he said. So he says to him, Harav Yovoim Shivim Shinois Chinuch, 70 years of Chinuch, your Marbit's Torah. You're coming to Shemaim with 70 years of Chinuch, he says. Vahamodas Alfi Talmidim. And you are basically right, you have put up, you have established, thousands of Talmidim came out of your hand. You have thousands of Talmidim that you taught Torah, 70 years of Chinuch. You're worried what you're coming, why are you worried what you're coming? You don't know? What are you worried about? And Rav Shach said, he says, Biklas Devar, he says, it's nothing. Ba'men, repeat it. Ba'mes yatsib in the Bezin Shulmala. Shovigunachzer. With what am I going to be able to stand in front of the Bezin Shulmala? Again, he sighed. And his aide again says to him, he tries to comfort him, he says, what do you mean? Kol oilam ha-yeshivas. Rav Shach at that time was controlling, you know, anything that was a problem, the world of yeshivas, everything came to Rav Shach's table. Even the stipler used to send to Rav Shach. Stipulus is in Rav Shach. So the aide says to him, he says, what do you mean? The whole Olam HaYeshivas, everything, he says, everything, it goes to your schus, because they're under your direction. The whole world of Torah is under your direction, he said. Kol Olam HaYeshivas niskav l'schusoy. It basically is accredited to your schus. Priches HaTorah b'doreinu, he said, the Torah that's flourishing in our door. It's your schus. You're worried with what you're coming to the Bezin Shalmala? What are you worried about? And again, he says, he made it with the hand, he said, Shavu Bittel, he was Mavatlet, Bameh Ove Lamorim, with what am I going to come up, he says, to Shemaim again. So he said, what do you mean? And he kept thinking, Rav Shach, you know, was a Mechaber, you know, of many, many volumes, called Avi Ezri on the Rambam, very classical Lomdish Yisvarim. You know, one Sefer on Choshe Mishpat, which came out in 1954. One Sefer Avi Ezri, one of the early Chalokim. By the way, the Chazinish himself, on his own copy of the Avi Ezri, wrote a lot of chidushim on the side. Doesn't mean he agreed with everything. He had his own copy, and subsequent editions of the Avi Ezri of Rav Shach, they printed it with the Hagoyes of the Chazonish. Chazonish writing Hagoyes and Rav Shach's Svarim. And 1954, Rav Shach prints Sefer Avi Ezri on Choshe Mishpat, and he has Askoma from the Brisker Rav, from Rav Velvel. Now, Brisk is emes. That's one thing, you know, Brisk doesn't exaggerate. Brisk is next, every word is, and this is the Lashon, I'm going to paraphrase, but it's very close to what the Briskerov wrote, and he writes like this, 1954, Rav Shach was quite a young man, 1954, he writes this, he says, I'm not sure, he says, why you need this comment for me, he says, Ki l'godl hador k'moysoi, he writes, ein tzorech l'didi v'l'dachvosi, doesn't need as comma from anybody like me or anybody like me. Ki kvar p'ki eshemei, because your name is already known, ke echod m'gdoy l'dereinu. 1954, Tovshin Yudalek. So, many volumes came out since then. So the aide was saying to Rav Shach, he tried this, thousands of Talmidim. Rav Shach says, nah, what am I going to come up with? He says to him, the whole oil of my yeshiva is under, nothing. What about all the volumes of Aviezeri you're going to bring to Shemayim? You have to show all the volumes of your Sefer Aviezeri. So he says to him now, B'chol K'rochei Aviezeri, he says, right, Al Hamoin Mahaduroso, Madura Kam, Madura Shnia, no, many, again, revised edition. Oh, he says, that's all he said, nothing. Yisrag Yisrav, he says, Yazbel, he said, please, Rebbe, explain to me. So fine, explain to me, Loma lo yovi b'chol elu, who has more schusim than you? Who has schusim like you? He wanted to understand, why is Rav Shach worried with what he's going to come to the Yoel Melin? And you know what his shuvah was? Rav Shach's shuvah was, he says, Haloi Tovin. Understand? Abu Kolei lo kibalti COVID. For all that I did, I was receiving COVID. Rav Shach is a good lador, Rav Shach is this, whenever I came, COVID. I'm afraid that the COVID that I was given, he says, for the Torah on this world is going to detract and take away from the Olam Haba. Look at the Moshe he said. He says, to come with Shemaim, he says, with all the great accomplishments, but if you had COVID out of it, it's like going on a bus with a ticket that has been punched, he said. You have a very good ticket, but it's been punched. It's full of holes. He says, you can't use it anymore. It's been punched. So all my accomplishments, this punched holes have been punched into it, he says. The COVID are punching holes into it. All the COVID that I received, he says, I got to call it COVID. So all the Torah that I taught, all the Talmidim, right? But there's a lot of holes been punched in. All these tickets have been punched in. He says, what about the COVID? So he says, Lamala b'moroim, in Shemayim, he points out, Nechshovim rak maisim shel hatzna lechesim alakecho. Mind what the Rosh is saying. The Rosh is saying, be careful, see to it that whatever you're doing is between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not something to gain COVID out of it. So Rav Galinsky says something very beautiful. He says, I'm going to conclude that. He says, you know the pasuk, he says, Al tiro k'yashir ish. When you say it on the seyach, when you say it by a novel, he says, Al tiro k'yashir ish, k'yah b'kavodah. In other words, don't be impressed about ashiris. Why? Because finally, when the end of day's time, when the person leaves this world, when he dies, he's not going to take it with him. Right? So Rav Galinsky asked a very interesting kasha, he says. It's a cute kasha, is it? He says, Kiloi b'moisa yikach ha'koil. Let's touch it. When a person dies, he doesn't take everything. And something he does take? He doesn't take anything. You only take your Torah mitzvahs. So what does it mean, Kiloi b'moisa yikach ha'koil? Right? When a person dies, he doesn't take everything. But something that he does take? So he pointed out and he said like this. Even if a person has a lot to say, based upon what Rav Shach told him, he says, now I got the pshat. You can have, he says, a lot of Torah mitzvahs. But maybe you can't take all of it. Why? You got COVID from it. The COVID that you got, he said, for your Torah mitzvahs, that chelik you can't take with you. So that's the way, this you see how Gedolim worked. And this was the worry about Rav Shach. So Kuponim, so this is, give us a little bit of an idea about the Gedolim Yisrael, how they learn. And B'ez Hashem, we should be able to have a little bit of Asogit to match up a little bit, to try a little bit to follow in the footsteps, to try to do a little bit more L'Shem Shemayim. And of course, our mitzvahs will be preserved, cultivated.